This is Backseat Box Office, episode number 203, for the weekend of September 12th till September 14th. This is Jeff.
And this is Art.
And we are the Backseat Producers, and you are listening to the Backseat Box Office. How's it going over there, Art?
It's going pretty good.
All right. So things are going well for us. Not so much with the box office. So let's talk about probably one of the worst leaderboards as far as the box office is concerned in a long time. And I'm just talking about the movies. I'm not talking about the people that played. At number one, Guardians of the Galaxy. Actually, you got to say the darlings of the box office only pulled in 10.4 million for the last weekend. At number two, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles brought in 6.5 million. At number three, Let's Be Cops came in at 5.6 million. At number four, we have If I Stay, we'll say 5.5 million. And number five, we have The November Man, which came in at 4.3 million. And usually this is where I stop because our listeners and hosts are on it. We can always get all the five movies. We might not get the right order every time, but rarely do we have to drop down to six and seven. Well, someone picked a movie that came in at 12. And I'm going to spare the listeners of the podcast of me going through 1 through 12. So I'm just going to talk about two more movies. At number 6, we have As Above, So Below, came in at 3.8 million. And we're going to drop all the way down to The Identical, which came in with a paltry 1.5 million. I should probably round up to 1.6, but they really don't deserve it, so they're going to stay at 1.5. So there is our disjointed box office results for the weekend of September 5th through September 7th. So, Art, why don't you tell us how everybody did?
Okay, well, we had all of three participants this week. And Cougaron, ever the man, he put him in that order you just read him in. So he got himself a nice perfect 25. I won't even bother to repeat him because he irks me. I came in second. I had Guardians in the right spot. I had Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles in the right spot. I had If I Stay off one spot, Let's Be Cops off one spot, and As Above, So Below off one spot for a total of 22 points. Jeff, why don't you tell us how you did and feel good that you did better than the last time I made picks.
Yes. Well, first off, memo to Cougaron. The next blog post better be written from the track because you're on a hot streak right now. How someone gets a 25 out of last week, and you know, it probably, if you're paying attention, maybe you had a good shot at a 25. And yeah, it's, you might be hearing bitterness. Okay, at one, I had Guardians. That's okay. At number two, I had Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, just like the other two people. That's fine. Number three, I had The Identical. Only movie coming out in wide release that wasn't there in the weekend before. Didn't realize that it was under 2,000 screens. So The Identical, as you know, came in at 12. So I had, or I'm sorry, at 11. So I had it at 3, came in 11. I got 8 points just off of that movie. I got If I Stay in the Right Spot at 4, and Let's Be Cops at 5, came in at 3. So I lost 2 points there. So not a total disaster, but I got a 15.
Not the end of the world.
Oh, no, of course not. We're just talking about movies.
So that will bring us to the leaderboard. So Cougaron, with his 25, jumps up into the top spot with 21.8. Brittany, with her non-participation, falls. She is at 21.6. She will have picks. She made them. She wrote them down. I don't have them right in front of me right now, but we'll get them. Jeff, you are in the third spot with 20.7. I'm reeling you in. I'm right behind you with a even 20. Nick is in the fifth spot with 19.6, and Tad is in the sixth spot with 18.2, and that is our leaderboard.
Okay, so you said Brittany has her picks, because I think we have two listeners that haven't sent us picks for 3 weeks. I think Brittany and Nick.
Yes.
Nick has fallen off.
Okay.
So, nope. Just make sure that he, if he's tuned out or whatever. Okay. So, yeah, so Nick and Brittany, Brittany's going to have her pick, so she's going to be off the probation there. But Nick, send us some picks. All right, so is that enough interruption of your leaderboard?
I am done with the leaderboard.
Okay, just making sure. I forgot exactly when I came in. All right, so we are done with the leaderboard, so let's talk about Arts House. More good news for Mr. Santos. All right, so we only had two players. Father Beast, we miss you. So send us Art House for next week. I have Frontera, which came in at 3,654. Art, who is crapping gold right now, came in at $5,665. So he gets another point. So he is just closing the coffin a little closer. He has 7 points, and I stay at 4, and Father Beast stays at 4. So that is the end of the Arts House for this week. And now we can talk about the Amazon gift card contest. Since we only had one participant who wasn't a host, Kugron by default gets a entry into the hat.
Almost seems a well-deserved entry.
Well-deserved entry, because he got 25. And yeah. I'm just going to say he kicked both the host butt, so that's not nothing.
Yeah, it's not hard to do.
All right. Yeah, all right. So, are tickets in the hat for the gift card are thus: Kugron has 4, Tad has 4, Nick has 3, and Brittany has 1. And just to review real quickly, that you can get an entry into the hat by having the highest non-host score on the top 5 contest, or you could send us a mini review of a movie, either current or in the past. Send it to our voicemail, we'll play it on the show, and you will get an entry. Just follow Tad's example if you've heard his wonderful reviews in the past. Okay, now that we're done now that we have finished with all of the things that happened last week, let's transition to what's going to go on this weekend, or what's coming out in the theater this weekend.
Yes.
We have two movies that are coming out in wide release. Art, why don't you tell us about the first one, and I will tell everyone about the second one.
Okay, so first off, we have Dolphin Tale 2. It is 73% fresh, 11 reviews, 8 fresh, 3 rotten, 85% want to see it out of 9,800 people. Warner Brothers Pictures and Alcon Entertainment, Dolphin Tale 2 continues the story of the brave dolphin Winter, whose miraculous rescue and recovery, thanks to a groundbreaking prosthetic tail, made her a symbol of hope and perseverance to people around the world and inspired the 2011 family hit movie Dolphin Tale. The film reunites the entire main cast, led by Harry Connick Jr., Oscar winner Morgan Freeman, Ashley Judd, Kris Kristofferson, Nathan Gamble, Cozy Zulzadaroff, Austin Stowell, and of course the remarkable dolphin Winter as herself. Charles Martin Smith, who directed Dolphin Tale, wrote the sequel and is again at the helm. It has been several years since young Sawyer Nelson, Gamble, and the dedicated team at the Clearwater Marine Hospital, headed by Dr. Clay Haskett, Connick Jr., rescued Winter with the help of Dr. Cameron McCarthy, Freeman, who developed a unique prosthetic tail for the injured dolphin. They were able to save her life. Rated PG, 1 hour, 47 minutes. Directed by Charles Martin Smith, written by Charles Martin Smith. Starring all the aforementioned people and other people of note. There's quite a list here, and not any names that I recognize.
One face that I did recognize is Charles Martin Smith. And you're probably saying, who in the heck is that guy? I've seen him. I think he was in a lot of movies when I was younger, but I mainly remember him for being the accountant in The Untouchables.
Oh.
That still got to carry a gun.
Okay.
Did you see the first one?
I did.
And so are you going to go see this one in the theater?
No, probably. Well, maybe. Aubrey has seen the previews and she wants to see it. So we might go see it. We might just buy the first one and save a trip to the movies.
Oh
'Cause
my.
she
No, I
won't
was
be
just
able
going
to
to
tell the
say
difference.
Charles Martin Smith is the one who written and directed it.
Yes.
Wow. Okay. I'm sorry. I just figured things out while we recorded. Go ahead.
That's okay. Yeah, so I don't know. We'll watch one or the other. If we can find the first one for cheap, maybe we'll just do that one, or maybe we'll go see this one if we can work out the schedule. But she sees the commercials and she's like, "Dolphin Tail, Dolphin Tail."
Yeah, just it does bring me back to Flipper.
Yeah, I
You
enjoyed some
know.
Flipper when I was younger.
Yeah, me too. Me too. All right. So let's move over to the next movie, No Good Deed. Warning sign, or excuse me, red flag, no reviews yet. Even though out of 12,000 Rotten Tomatoes users, 90% want to see it. So here's the description. Terry, played by Taraji P. Henson, a devoted wife and mother of two, lives an ideal life that takes a dramatic turn when her home and children are threatened by Colin, Idris Elba, a
No.
yes, that Idris Elba, a charming stranger who smooth talks his way into her house claiming car trouble. The unexpected invitation leaves her and her family terrorized and fighting for survival. PG-13, there's only 1 hour and 24 minutes of terror. There's also suspense, and it was directed by Sam Miller. So yes, it is starring the always awesome Idris Elba, also Leslie Bibb, and some lesser known actors. I have no idea who they are.
I got nothing.
So this looks like another wait for Lifetime Movie Network, which I'm sure Art will be telling us about when he watches it on there. Yeah, it's I haven't even seen any commercials or anything for this.
I've been seeing the commercials, but that's because, the type of television that Brittany watches, this is getting play there.
Oh, okay. All right.
So yeah, I've seen them. It looks like standard fare. I wouldn't be surprised if it was something that was canned a while ago and they're bringing it out now because Idris Elba is such a hot property.
True.
Because it's nothing spectacular. I don't even know. I don't know. I just don't want to see him as a bad guy. I don't want to see him as a bad guy.
I was just gonna say, I don't watch a lot of movies. So I was gonna say I don't recall him being a villain, even though I think was he a bad guy in The Losers?
No.
Wasn't there someone in The Losers that was a bad guy?
Oh, was there a traitor within their midst? I haven't seen that in ages.
Yeah,
I only
no.
saw it the once, so I don't remember if there was a turncoat in the group.
No, I have a friend that says that's his favorite Chris Evans movie, The
Nice.
Losers. But yeah, but he tend he tends to take a left turn from, I don't know, reason sometimes. So yeah. All right, so those are the two movies that are coming out in wide release.
Yep.
And now we can get the picks, and it is a slam dunk who's going first this time.
Yes, it is. Well, I am ready. Okay, I am going to put Dolphin Tale 2 in the number one spot.
Okay, there's the D. Go ahead.
I'm going to put Guardians of the Galaxy in the number two spot.
All right, no ditto this week. Go ahead.
Yep. I am going to put No Good Deed in the third spot. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles in the fourth spot, and Let's Be Cops in the fifth spot. And for my arts house, I'm going with The Disappearance of Eleanor Rigby.
All right, that makes it easier. That definitely makes it easier. All right, done?
Yep, I am done.
Okay. I am also going with Dolphin Tale 2 at number 1. I'm going to go ahead and put No Good Deed at 2, even though I know it's going to burn me, but what the hell. Guardians 3, I'm going to put Let's Be Cops at 4, and I'm going to put Ninja Turtles at number 5. So, and for Arts House, I had three movies put down. The Disappearance of Eleanor Rigby was one of them, but since you picked it, I'm not going to go with that one. Even though I like me some Jessica Chastain, it's a little too, I don't know, a little too chick flicky for me. But I'm also, the second movie I'm going to throw out, Kevin Kline, And oh my God, Maggie Smith. I almost forgot her name. My Old Lady looks like a funny comedy. But I'm going to go with something that is going to be on 15 screens, which has burned me in the past. So I'm just going down, like they said in Young Guns 2, going down in a blaze of glory. I'm going to go with Skeleton Twins. Because it's getting good reviews. It's on 15 screens. And it has Kristen Wiig and Bill Hader.
And Luke Wilson.
And Luke Wilson. That's kind of a throw-in for me. I would see it just for those two.
Yeah.
So those are my picks.
Okay.
And now that we're done with picks, now we can talk about how Art and I are wasting our time. Art, what movies and or TV did you watch last week?
I managed to rewatch X-Men First Class with Brittany by my side the entire time. She really enjoyed it, and so now we're going to start working our way through the rest of the X-Men franchise. So I'm querying all of my friends to see who has the first singer X-Men. So that'll be the next step in the path, or maybe we'll switch over to Captain America, because that one I have on the shelf.
Speaking of Captain America, the Blu-ray for Captain America 2 came out today.
Ah, okay.
And I didn't make it to Target today, but I've been hearing that Target's been selling out of it, or out of them.
Really? Interesting.
Yes, yes. And another question, you saw Days of Future Past, didn't you?
I did not.
Okay, all right.
No, I need to see that one.
We'll save that conversation for later then. Okay, please continue.
And that was it. I mean, other little random things here and there. Will Wheaton Project, Skin Wars, Face Off, things like that. But nothing. I feel like I'm forgetting something, but just going to let it go. So how has your week gone?
Well, to be honest, I've been watching a lot of TV, which happens to relate to football, because I am an NFL fan, so I watched the Thursday night game and all the games on Sunday and Monday, so I'm sure that listeners don't want to hear about that. Now, we did have another free preview from DirecTV of Cinemax and HBO.
Oh, okay, wait. Okay, so every time after the fact, I find out there was a free Cinemax and HBO weekend. Okay. So my cable provider sent me an email. So I knew on Friday that there was free Cinemax and HBO for the weekend.
Who's your provider?
DirecTV.
Okay. So you got the message on your TV?
I got the message in my email. So I saw the email.
Oh,
I knew
okay.
It was coming. I was jacked. I was psyched. I was like, yes, I'm gonna see some free HBO and Cinemax this weekend. Huge storm blows through Elgin. Power goes out on Friday at 3 p.m. before I get home. 60,000 people in the Elgin area without power.
Really?
Yes. There were you drive through my neighborhood and every single block had just huge tree branches, or at least three completely uprooted trees, power lines down all over the place. I had no cable, no internet, no satellite, no nothing, no power until 10 o'clock Saturday night, and came home, went to bed, and completely forgot about the free HBO Cinemax weekend.
To be honest, you didn't miss much.
Okay, well, that's fine. That makes me feel a little better.
I think we recorded We're the Millers.
Okay.
Which I'll be watching later, because we couldn't watch it with the kids.
And right.
There's a lot of
yeah.
questionable stuff in that one. I did. I don't know why I ended up watching it, but I ended up watching about 45 minutes in Eyes Wide Shut.
Oh, okay.
And I'll be honest, there were a lot of naked bodies that drew my attention when I first watched it. But there's a lot of weird stuff going on.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I remember when it came out and that, you know, it wasn't like real popular and or kind of, you know, what I was watching kind of reminded me of Interview with the Vampire a little bit, as far as the, you know, the underground society of vampires that were in Interview with the Vampire, and there's a little bit going on with Eyes Wide Shut, even though it's kind of like a sex cult kind of thing.
Right.
So I might have to put that on the queue to find out what the hell is going on in that movie. Just because, you know, my problem with Tom Cruise is I've seen a lot of him as an action star, but I like him when he's a dramatic actor or, you know, he's in a comedy. Like, you know, he was fantastic in Tropic Thunder.
Right.
So I kind of like to see him where he's not Mr. Action Star.
Where he's doing something a little different.
Even though I've been hearing great things about Edge of Tomorrow.
Yeah, I do want to see it. I was just having a conversation that you kind of segued into a couple of other things. You bring up Tom Cruise, and there was a story. I ended up cutting it, but just to mention, Top Gun 2 seems to be moving inexorably towards a becoming an actual movie. I thought it was interesting enough to mention, not interesting enough to talk about at length. But that does bring me to a conversation I had with Nick about what is up with the old man action hero renaissance we are having, because we've got the November Man just hit. We've got a new one coming from Denzel Washington, where he's definitely looking a little long in the tooth. The Expendables is becoming a huge franchise. Well, I don't know about a huge franchise. That third movie kind of tanked a little, but they're three movies deep into that thing at this point. Liam Neeson, that's kind of all he does now is action movies. And I just find it interesting.
Well, I can only guess that it probably has something to do with Hollywood kind of wants an established fan base, because who are you really? I mean, otherwise you're handing the keys off to an unproven
Yeah,
performer
right.
as your action star. And it seems like in general we're getting, you know, green lights for projects of, you know, for actors that, you know, that are, you know, that are senior citizens now, and you know, and they have enough power and enough money to, you know, I want to make a movie with my friends,
Right.
like, you know, I think it was Road Hogs or Road Dogs or
Yeah.
Space Cowboys. I
Right,
was listening
right.
to another podcast talking about Grudge Match.
Yeah.
You know, let's have a movie with Rocky and Jake LaMotta from Raging Bull together.
Right.
So you know, I kind of chalk it up to that. So I don't, I mean, maybe they're trying to court the older demographic, or, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, I think I think you're right. They are taking it is risk averse. Going with people who are established, who they know have a certain amount of draw, but at some point, if you look back, at some point these people were new people, and they took a chance, and that's how they got on this path to where they are now. I can't wait to see where, oh, now I am blanking, Guardians of the Galaxy.
Pratt.
Pratt. Yeah, I can't wait to see, the arc that his career takes.
Well, I think his next movie is going to be Jurassic World.
Oh, okay. Nice.
So we definitely have that to look forward to. You know, it's, I think I mentioned on our earlier show, but I think we lost that show. But I've been reading this book about the death of the box office, or the death of Hollywood, that I think we're heading toward kind of like a dot-com bubble, to where hopefully we start seeing different kinds of movies being made or mass-produced.
Right.
So we'll see. You know, it's very interesting because, you know, they kind of talked about with Lincoln, Spielberg kind of had to work his butt off to get the funding to make Lincoln,
Right.
which I would just think that there would be a blank check for whatever Spielberg wants to make.
Yeah.
But, you know, not so much with Lincoln, just because, you know, he didn't have 100% buy-in
Right.
from the powers that be. Jerry Bruckheimer, who did the Pirates of Caribbean, I think he was executive producer on Top Gun, if I'd have to, you know, if I look back. But he's done some blockbusters. He's now in television. He's completely happy just overseeing Amazing Race.
Interesting. I did not realize that was him.
So there's some big name people that we would know that have gone to television because, you know, it's just too hard for them to make money in movies.
Right.
Kind of thing. But it's a fascinating book. The book's called The 11 Billion Year. I believe it's by Ann Thompson. And she just goes through a year of the box office. And the book starts out where she goes to Sundance. And she kind of pulls the curtain back on how the players basically play the game at Sundance.
Right.
And, you know, they're trying to get a bit, you know, a studio buy of their movie. Because that's kind of like the first step to, you know, to the Oscars kind of thing. And it's interesting her bringing up movies that I know. Like she was talking about, Safety Not Guaranteed.
Okay.
Now, you watched The League.
Yes.
Right? If I throw out the name Mark Duplass, do you know what actor that is? It's the dark-haired one, not Kevin, who's married, but the other single one.
The single one, right. Yeah. That's who I thought it was, but I wasn't positive.
He is like Mr. Indie Movie, and I've heard the name Mumblecore thrown around, but I guess it's this tight group of independent filmmakers that if someone has a project, they all show up and like take a job, not necessarily the same job every time.
Okay.
So I found that was it's interesting. I'll have to report back as I get further into the book, but I'm really enjoying it. You know, basically since we talk about box office all the time.
Right.
Okay. Another show that I've discovered is, and it's on IFC, it's the same channel that started Marin, Garfunkel and Oates.
I saw a preview for that.
Now, Garfunkel and Oates, they're two women who, and they basically are a comedy team. And so I just wanted to see the first episode because I think they're very funny, but they're very adult about some of the things that they sing about. And it's basically another show about, you know, they basically play themselves, but Hollywood, you know, it's kind of an idealized Hollywood as opposed to real life kind of thing.
Right.
But I got through the first episode. I enjoyed it. Had to make sure that the kids weren't around when I was watching it, but I enjoyed it. I got five more episodes recorded, so I'm going to try to truck on through those.
Okay.
But who knows how long that's going to be because I'm about 2/3 of the way through Almost Human.
Okay.
And I think my DVR is about to die. So I'm hoping that I need to get through more Almost Human because I think if my DVR does die, I'm not going to be able to watch the end of Almost Human.
Right. Yeah.
You know, I think it's on Hulu, but as long as I get to the last five, because I think that you can still watch the last five. So between Almost Human, Garfunkel and Oates, and watching about a third of Eyes Wide Shut, that's all I really saw that didn't involve a sack or a touchdown.
Okay. Who are the two leads in Garfunkel and Oates? Because I saw the preview, and one of the girls I really felt like I recognized, but I couldn't quite place her, and I never went to look it up.
Okay, so the tall one is Ricky Lindholm.
Okay.
She has been on Big Bang Theory. She's also been in some movies. The other one is Kate Micucci, who has also been on Big Bang Theory. She actually played Raj's girlfriend for a couple episodes.
Maybe that's where I recognized her from.
They've been in multiple things,
right?
Because
you
know, they're trying to, you know, to be actors.
Yes.
But yeah, I really hope the show does well because you know they're kind of unique. All right, so I think we have talked about what we've watched. So let's get the news, Art. How much news do you have?
I have a couple of things, not a bunch, maybe a handful. The first one being the title was Robert Downey Jr. Knows Exactly How Important He Is to Iron Man. So he has signed up, bringing him back into the Marvel Cinematic Universe through 2018. He is getting $50 million. He was on the cover of this month's Vanity Fair, as the highest paid actor in the world. They interviewed him, and he still seems very down to earth. He's not letting it go to his head. He's not on the path to self-destruction that he ended up on before. And I thought that was really interesting. But it also ties into Jennifer Lawrence just entered the Guinness Book of World Records as the, where is it? I'm trying to find what the exact, I lost it. I'm losing my mind. I saw it here just a second ago of what her exact title was. Officially named her the highest grossing action heroine the world has ever known.
Really? That seems a little over the top.
I don't see. The Hunger Games series has already made $1.52 billion worldwide.
Hmm.
And there are still more movies to come.
Well, I mean, she has two X-Men movies under her belt.
Yes. What are some of the other...
To the internet.
Yes. $158 million opening weekend for Catching Fire. $424 million domestic. $864 million worldwide.
Yeah, so according to Box Office Mojo, we have Hunger Games at $408 million. Hunger Games, $424 million. Days of Future Past at $233. First Class did $148. And you had a couple more movies, American Hustle, 150, Silver Linings Playbook, 132, House at the End of the Street at 31. Still seems a little excessive, but those Hunger Games made a crap load of money.
Yeah, they did.
I mean, I don't even think that there's a comparison that, I mean, the only thing I could really think of is Jolie, but her biggest movie is that she didn't just do a voice, was Mr. and Mrs. Smith, $186 million.
Right. Oh, yeah. And there's, yeah. So, yeah, it's just interesting. Guinness Book of World Records. So,
all right.
Actor, actress, making a payday. What do you got?
Okay, I got, these are going to be two announcements that I'm going to do together. Apparently, they are beginning getting everyone involved for 23 Jump Street. So, first they're in high school, then they're in college. Who knows what you do after that? Maybe there's
corporate America.
Drug deals at job fairs. Or, I don't know. And then, Guardians of the Galaxy breakout star getting new contract, expected big role in Avengers 3. Who's your money on as the breakout star of Guardians of the Galaxy?
The Raccoon.
No.
Oh, Bautista.
Dave Bautista was the breakout star of Guardians of the Galaxy. So, it seems like Guardians will be the key to bringing us more Thanos to the big screen. Now we understand how Phase 3 of the Marvel Cinematic Universe will work. I'm just reading right out of the announcement. Following the Avengers Age of Ultron, we are getting a handful of standalone films, including Ant-Man, Doctor Strange, Guardians of the Galaxy 2. According to PWInsider.com, Bautista is reworking his contract to get more money from Marvel and to make sure Drax is front and center for the Avengers 3. I hope that goes over well, because it usually doesn't.
Right.
Because Marvel is all about bang for the buck.
Right.
And, you know, I know that I believe they have plans in case that any of the big names do not want to, you know, want more money. Or
right.
Want to renegotiate like Mr. Bautista is doing, even though I would not want to be in the room negotiating with him. oh, hold on. Okay, and for Bautista, his next role could come in a remake of, wait for it, Kickboxer.
Oh, my goodness.
Starring Tony Jaa, MMA champion, and Captain America, the Winter Soldier alum, George St. Pierre, and Bautista. So, George St. Pierre played Batroc.
Yeah, the Leaper.
Yeah, in Captain America 2, the Winter Soldier.
Yes.
All right, so Art, why don't you go, and then I have one more news story.
Okay. DC Comics may be making its own version of the Guardians of the Galaxy. So, rumor has it that DC is passing around copies of Legion of Superheroes to writers and other pitchmen and looking for ideas. So this is, it's very early, just in the idea stage. But remember, they have slots for 9 movies coming out between now and 2020.
Wow.
So somewhere in there, they could be looking to slot in a Legion of Superheroes.
Interesting.
Give me some Saturn Girl. That's what I'm saying.
Saturn Girl?
Yeah.
Please tell me more about Saturn Girl.
Yeah, we'll get into that next time. We'll do some more research on the Legion. Just going to tease you.
All right. Well, I got teased enough by Nebula.
There you go.
So, my last thing isn't really news. It's just an article. It says, read Bill Hader's list of 200 movies every comedy writer should see. So, obviously, we're not comedy writers, but I'm always interested in, you know, movie lists from people that make movies. So, it's alphabetical, and I'm just, you know, perusing the list a little bit. But there are some interesting movies that are in here. The one that I am just drawn to at number 63 is Eyes Wide Shut.
Interesting.
Yeah, some classics that I've seen and they're beloved movies by me, Dirty Rotten Scoundrels, Caddyshack, The Burbs, probably one of the more underrated comedies, Better Off Dead. I mean, some of these are slam dunks. He has Pee-wee's Big Adventure, Raising Arizona, Royal Tenenbaums. I think he almost has every Wes Anderson on here. Stripes, Team America World Police, all 3 Toy Stories. So I will post a link in the show notes so you can check out the entire list instead of me trying to read it all.
Okay.
So I'm done with my news. Art, what do you have left?
Okay. Well, so Jessica Chastain got mentioned earlier, and I saw this and it just kind of caught my eye. 5 badass comic book characters Jessica Chastain would be perfect for. Because she almost got cast in, I think it was Iron Man 3. But she turned it down. And she's quoted as saying, a couple of times I've gotten really close. The problem is, if I do a superhero movie, I don't want to be the girlfriend. I don't want to be the daughter. I want to wear a effing cool costume and a scar on my face with fight scenes. That's what I'd love. So they're recommending, then they make this list. So first on the list, Poison Ivy. Not a hero. Why are they throwing that out there?
Yeah. Okay. Gotcha.
Second, Looker. Looker, I believe, I'm not very familiar, but I believe she's a vampire and also not really a hero. Painkiller Jane, another one I am not familiar with. I've heard the name before.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat, and you know more comics than I do. So.
Yeah, and I've got nothing on that one. This one, Angela. Angela, I am familiar with Angela. I have her first appearance. She was in Spawn. And once again, not the most heroic of characters. So I guess they took the badass very very literally and took these very borderline type characters. But I don't know. I just thought it was funny that, you know, we just chatted about her just a bit in the Arts House segment. And I saw this news story. So I think Angela's probably the best bet because I would like to see some expansion on the whole Spawn mythos.
I'm just thinking out loud of characters with red hair. Scarlet from G.I. Joe.
Oh, yeah.
If they made a hard-boiled, almost noir-level G.I. Joe and not, you know, if Christopher Nolan made G.I. Joe.
Nice. Yes.
Red Sonja.
Yeah.
Even though, I mean, she's kind of, I think she'd have to bulk up to be a Red Sonja. I don't know, because she, you know, how tall is she?
No clue.
Do you think she could replace Johansson as Black Widow?
No, I think she has really dug herself into that role. There'd have to be something. I think that would be a hard sell.
Phoenix?
I mean, you could do it. Yeah, there's Phoenix.
Even though it would be weird because that movie, The Disappearance of Eleanor Rigby, it's basically her and she's married to Professor X.
Right, James McAvoy. Yeah.
That would be weird. Okay, well, if you're done with news, I think this is the end of the show.
Yes, we can wrap it up.
So, Kugron, thank you for playing. Hopefully I'm hoping beyond hope that we have more players next week. Other than that, thank you guys for listening, and we will check you next time. Art, say goodbye.
Goodbye.